Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show where we do it more than we talk about it. And so tonight is a full night of prophesying to people. Once we get through the revelating part, we'll be praying for you. So get ready for that. All right, get that hand up there. Make sure you get your hand up so that we won't miss you. And Wednesdays is our dedication. We dedicate the whole night as far as after the teaching to you, to minister to you, pray for you. So let's make sure we get it going on pretty good. Just get the hand up, make it easy. I'll ask you for your first name, what state you're from. That's all I want to know. Okay. See you in a second. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about Job. I want to go into Job for a little bit. I want to talk about that. And we're going to start with Job chapter 1. We're going to go into the scripture and read a lot of scripture tonight. So get ready for that. If you're ready for that, we're going to be trying to learn some things tonight that will hopefully help you understand things. One second here. All right, here we are. So one of the things I want to really bring out in all this is, sometimes we blame ourselves for things that we haven't done. We've talked about the things that we need to take accountability for, right? We spent some time on that. And we need to. We need to cover all bases. We want, our blood off of our everybody's blood off our hands. And so in doing that, we have to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And because we love people and we want them to know, that if you're going in circles a lot, you might check out why you're going in circles. But tonight we're going to do kind of the opposite to a certain degree. We're going to talk about Job tonight. Job was one of those guys that really walked with God. And all of a sudden he had trouble come upon him. And, he couldn't figure out what was going on. One thing is that sometimes when you're being tested, we know Job was being tested. Well, I'm going to read that here in a second. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. Remember last night we talked about God telling Abraham to be blameless after he had Ishmael. Remember that? And then the next chapter 17, after Ishmael had been around for about 13 years, God came to Abraham. He said, be blameless. And Abraham was a pretty rich guy, pretty blessed guy. Job was too. And you see the same thing here, what God said. He said that his name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. So God wasn't telling Job to be blameless and upright. He was blameless and upright. Right? Isn't that cool? And so, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So I'm gonna tie this into some things that have been taught that I think that are a little bit off course and makes people feel guilty for things that they shouldn't be feeling guilty for. If we're truly guilty of something, we need to be feel guilty about it. We need to get convicted of the Holy Spirit and get it over with, get it done, get repent of it, right? I'm all for that. That's what God does in me, and I'm sure he does it in you too. Very, very important. All right, so we see right here, it establishes this fact that Job was truly a blameless and upright man and one who feared God and shunned evil. So we get a testimony right off the first sentence, the first verse, the first part of the verse, he's saying Job was a blameless and upright person, one who feared God and shunned evil. A lot of people talk about how Job feared, like Kenneth Copeland, who was my favorite teacher for many years, and I really enjoyed a lot back in the day. Now I find a lot of stuff he's taught has not been correct biblically, so I'm now going through and I've learned a lot from what I learned from him, not to receive some of those things. one of the things that Kenneth Copeland said is that everything that happened to Job happened to him because he feared. So he basically teaches people, like he taught me many years ago, through, you know, TV and teachings, that kind of thing, that if you have fear of any kind, basically, you're going to, whatever you fear is going to come upon you. He said, here's my example, it's Job. Right, here's my example, he says, and it's Job. So if you don't read the first verse of the Bible, of the book of Job, the very first verse where it says Job was not a fearful man, he feared God and he shunned evil. In other words, he didn't really have any obsessive compulsive fears, right? He had none. I'm going to show this to you. This is really cool. I just saw this a couple days ago. He was blameless and upright. Remember, God told Abraham to be blameless. You know, he just had Ishmael, so I don't know if he was kind of hinting around about Ishmael or what, but with Job was already blameless and upright. He definitely was a blameless and upright person. And this didn't only fear God, he shunned evil. The word shun there is pretty heavy, something I think maybe we could learn from that. Let me get it going on here in a second. All right. I'm going to look at the word shun. Persistently avoid. Man, we'll take some of that, right? He shunned. He persistently avoided and ignored and rejected evil and through much caution. So I don't think Job was a man who had fears. And we're going to see here where the word fear is used, but I'm going to show you tonight what I believe. So if you have that false teaching inside of you like I did, it opens you up to thinking that if you have a certain level of fear in any area, that it opens you up to that destroying your whole life. Like when his kids were taken out, it said that he did fear that his kid, that God would deal with his kids in a tough way. But God didn't deal with his kids, number one. Number two, you know, I want to share this with you. I want to show you this in the Word here, just a second here. But let's just go ahead and read it. Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to read. Job was not an evil person. He didn't have unusual fears because he was upright and blameless. All right? So we got to establish that fact in the very beginning. And he shunned evil. Somebody who, you know, fear is evil. Fear is evil, right? Now, there's the fear of God, and there's the fear of Satan. There's different levels of fear. All right, so we're going to talk about that tonight so that you can identify what fears you do need to get rid of and that you won't have to worry about if you have a fear that it's going to take down your whole world, your whole financial world, like it did Job, which it didn't take, fear didn't take it down, but his whole financial world was taken down. His whole family was destroyed. Everything he had was destroyed. In a lickety split. Yeah. And we're going to see tonight that just because you have some healthy fears doesn't mean that you're open to have your life destroyed. So we're going to shut that door tonight. All right? That's what we want to do. We're going to shut that door tonight. That if you have some healthy fears, which we're going to show you his tonight, and what Kenneth Copeland says is what brought all this upon him, which is a total lie. I mean, it's totally misunderstood. And when you see it, it's really plain to see. Just reading the scripture will show you that. All right, because number one, we see he was telling Abraham to be blameless. He didn't tell Job to be blameless. He said Job was blameless and upright, and he shunned evil, walked away from it. All right, and seven sons, verse 2, and three daughters were born to him. Also, he put his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. Wow. 500 yoke of oxen. That's 500 yoke of oxen. That's 1,000 oxen. A yoke is two. 500 yoke oxen. Yoke of oxen. That's, so he had 1,000 yoke, 1,000 oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Now, you're looking at a man who was the greatest, right here it says, he was an upright man, a godly man. So if you have a fear of being rich and being ungodly, it's going to make you ungodly. Well, if you have things in you that might take you that way, it's very possible. But we're going to see here tonight, we want you to know that when we, as we make this wealth transfer, as God begins to take us there and step by step and start unfolding this thing, that you will not walk in this with fear of, oh, man, what if I get rich? I might follow away from God. You can't be rich and you can't have money and be blessed and be and serve God. Well, we have a man right here who did. Yeah, but he lost everything, Brother Randy, because he feared. That is not why he lost everything, right, which is what Kenneth Copeland says. I've listened to him for years. I know what he said. So we love you, Kenneth. Mwah. As always, blow my kiss. Kisses his way in Jesus' name. It's my brother. All right. All his possessions, he talks about, were many, many, many. He was the greatest of all the people of the East, right? And his sons would go. Now, watch this. Here we go. Here's the first hint of a problem that Job was concerned about. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each one on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Okay, so we have a father here who has children who are getting together and they're feasting and they're drinking, you know, some to eat and drink with them, you know. And so they would, some verses tell you that they were drinking wine. They were, you know, they were partying. They were having, you know, they were just having a, you know, a good family time. And I just don't know how good it always turned out. But according to this, you know, they did. They feasted, you know, quite a bit. We're going to see that in a little bit. So we're going to look at the fact that the reason Job had concerns about his children is because you're going to see here in a little bit that they feasted a little bit much, maybe, right? And so he was very concerned. So fear can be, you know, you can have a fear, a certain level of fear about it, because guess what? It says that Job feared God. And when you fear God, you know that when you fear God, and you know how God does, you know God is not a respecter of persons. Just because that's my baby and I'm righteous doesn't mean that they're going to be spared. Right? Right. You know that. You fear God, and you know that when you fear and you know God, you know that when he deals with things, they could cross the line, and God will not be a respecter of persons. So he had a fear. The Bible says what he feared came upon him, and they make it look like it was some demon of fear, some obsessive compulsive fear. But the truth is that the fear he had was he knew God was a God who didn't regard, you know, people's, your mother and father, you know, so much. Unless he gave you that blessing, which he did, David. But Job, we're seeing here that his children like to party. And so because of that, you can see right here, Job was concerned that it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. So he was very concerned about his children. And if he had no reason to be concerned, then there would be no reason for going beyond, a little bit beyond concern to very concerned. He was very concerned for his children. Yeah, we're going to read here in a little bit. They partying some more. They were partying when the storm came and took them all down. They were partying. And so Job was sincerely concerned. Because when your kids grow up, you know, you don't, because they live on your property and under your house, you know, they're getting married, they got children, whatever. You don't make them do everything you do. You give them you teach them when they're young, you let them grow, and you let them come to the decision to serve God, right? But Job still was a prayer warrior. And he feared God, knowing that if they cursed God in their heart, which is very possible, that it could take them down. So it could open up a door for them. Now, that's not fear, friend. That is reverential fear, knowing that, you know, if you're walking in disobedience and you curse God in your heart, you could open yourself up to no telling what. That's a fact. That is not the fear that Kenneth Copeland said Job had was a fear of, that was an unhealthy fear, in the fact that you know, they weren't really doing anything wrong, but he feared anyway. Somebody who fears unhealthily fears about everything about your kids, even though they're not really doing anything so much, right? That's unhealthy fear. Reverential fear and all is that you know they're partying, you know they get together, and they're drinking and eating and having and doing things, and they'll tell them what's going to go on because they were rich. They were very, very rich. And Job was a praying man who prayed for them regularly. Right? Okay. Now, today's okay, so now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. All right, so we got the sons of God, or angels, some people think they're angels, who came into the present to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." In other words, he's looking around a lot. That's what he does. Then the Lord, verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So he opens up the door. He goes, the angels and or the sons of God are coming before the Lord to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. And God then talked to the angels. He talked to Satan. He said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "I've been going, you know, he's looking for somebody to devour, basically." And the Lord said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." There it is again. Right, there it is again. So we're seeing here that Job was not some fearful little old man who had a lot of money and worried about it. But, you know, he was very concerned about his children because they were doing things that he knew. And he feared what God, and if he didn't fear God, he was, God wouldn't, you know, the devil can't do nothing to them because, but when you fear God, you know, right? So what do? You pray more, right? You intercede more. And hopefully you're not praying in too much, the wrong energy or the wrong prayer power. Hope you're praying in peace and joy, but a fervent prayer, right? So you can have a very fervent prayer over your children, over things. It's not just your children. We're going to talk tonight about anything in your life that you're really concerned about. It could be your money. If you have fear about your money, if you have a lot of money, and which I don't know too many people in PG have a lot of money. So if you have a lot of money and you're always fearing you're going to lose it, then you might ought to get together with God and ask God to show you how to, you know, deal with that. Nothing wrong with that. When you have those situations, we need to realize just get it right with God. You know, and try to start getting it right. So that's why I want to talk about this. You can be rich. That's what this is about. This is really about a rich man, the greatest man in the land, in the East at that time. He's a righteous man, and he's stinking filthy rich. And he's fixing to be double that. Right. So Satan comes, and God says, here's how the thing started. It didn't happen because of fear. All right? Do you see fear in there anywhere? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro, from the earth walking around, and all over the place on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there's none like him, devil, on the earth. I mean, look what God does. He qualifies him for not being anything like him in the East to being anything like him on the earth. So Job was obviously one amazing man of God. For men, some of you men can take an example from Job right here and go, wow, I can be like that? Absolutely. Absolutely. We can be rich and holy. Absolutely. Doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. You know, with hundredfold comes persecution, so get ready. All right. Then the Lord said to Satan, if you consider my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth. Isn't that amazing? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. See, that tells you, God says, well, he has a little issue with fear. No, he says he fears God. He shuns evil. He's upright. He's blameless. He's the greatest. He's the most. There's nobody like him on the earth, not just in the East, on the earth. All right, verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household and around all he has, on every side. Now, why would God need to put a hedge around him? You know, I think it's very different. There's various reasons for that, and so we're going to try to talk about that a little bit here in a minute. But so he had a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has. Right, he had a hedge around all that he has on every side. In other words, he was very well covered. Right? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Why would God bless the hands of his, bless the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? Being why? Because when he came through testing, you know, sacrifice and seed, when he went through testing, he passed the test. Obviously, because that's why God increased him. If you start getting in the flesh, getting greedy, getting lustful, getting whatever you're doing, and you don't get it straightened out as quick as possible, you know, what happens is you end up not being blessed. That those blessings start dwindling away, right? But not Job. He said, Satan knew this. See, Satan knows when you're blessed, bro, sister, my brothers and sisters. He knows. Satan knows when you are blessed. He knows how God has watched over you. It's like he's watched over me. He's watched over you. Satan knows that. All right. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, watch this, verse 11. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. Not somewhat. He knows how the devil goes for everything. Touch all that he has. I mean, not just his material possession, everything. And he will curse you to your face. Wow. And God goes, yeah, I don't think you know my boy. I don't think you know my boy. Fixing to find out what a man of God I have here. All right. Satan is the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is yours. All that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person. Now, God changed that later. So you can do anything but kill him. But right now, he says, you know, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person. Remember, he put boils in him later. So later he could do things to his person. But right now, God says, okay, so what did he do? God just opened the door. This was not Job's fear. Kenneth Copeland says, for years, I love you, Kenneth, again. You know, it had nothing to do with fear, that we're seeing the beginnings of something. We're seeing what it says here and why this all happened. And it had nothing to do with Job's fear. Was he extremely concerned about his children? Yeah, and he had a reason. If you don't have a reason for concern and you're in fear and you're in overwhelming, you know, concern, then that's different. Then that's fear. But if you know they're doing stuff that's not right, and you love them enough, you can just tell them you love them and we're praying for you, you know, and tell them to be careful, you know, not to do that stuff. But you can't stop them from doing it, right? So you know God. You know how things are in the spiritual world. You fear God, right? We fear God, so we know that things can happen. So that is not something. I want to shut the door tonight. I want to help begin shutting the door tonight for you, between you and God, with the Word of God tonight. They're very simple. I'm just reading along here. I'm not saying too much about it. I'm just reading along here pretty clearly. You can see what's going on. Right? God said all these good things about Job. He didn't say he's almost blameless. He got 99% right. He got one thing wrong. No, he said he's blameless. Right, so what's God trying to say? He's trying to establish Job so that as we go into this thing, you won't let Twisted Sister get in there and say, oh, it all happened because Job feared. I don't think Job feared his possessions, losing his possessions, but he lost them. It said that he did fear about his children, but I think that fear was a very healthy fear. Right? I really did. And so, you know, do we need to walk in more faith toward our children? Absolutely. All right. And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not, verse 9, have you not made a hedge around him and around his household? Okay, so So God in verse 12, the Lord comes along and says, okay, I'm going to remove the hedge. You can do anything but touch him. So Satan went out, that second part of verse 12, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. This is where Job loses his property and his children. I want you to watch this. Verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. So you see right there. That's why Job was concerned, because they did get together a lot and eat and drink and have parties. And, you know, that's what he knew. Job had probably been a heathen himself, drinking wine and partying all the time. I mean, a little bit of buzz, the Bible says a little bit of wine is good for your belly. But when you start drinking and drinking and drinking as a party thing, not just as a health thing, then as the Bible very clearly says, then, you know, you have a problem. Because what happens is it gets into your heart, and your heart starts going places. Job understood that. It wasn't like something, a fear comes out of, oh, that couldn't really happen to you if you get a little bit loaded on a regular basis and you're partying. It couldn't happen to you. No way. You could curse God when you get loaded and drunk. Oh, yeah? I think Job knew, and he'd seen it with many, many people, what, you know, becoming a drinker can do for you. It can open you up to things. And so is that wrong to be concerned for your children over that? I don't think so. So we're gonna try to shut the door tonight on the fear of you losing your children, because, you know, that teaching, well, so you're trying to hide your concern for your children or concern for your business or concern for whatever it is you're concerned for, your money, whatever it is. We're gonna break that off of you, so that when you do become blessed and wealthy, so that you do become, you know, God blesses you, you're not gonna have to sit there and go, oh my God, am I gonna lose everything because I have a lot of wealth and I got one little fear in my life. I fear, you know. So we're gonna get this straight by the grace of God. All right, that's what we're working on tonight. We're working on trying to biblically, simply, and seriously line this out. Get that false teaching out of you, like God had to get out of me. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And a messenger came, here we go, to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Wow. All right. So what happened here? The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding. In other words, all the oxen, he had about 1,000 oxen. So he had 50 yoked oxen, which is, you know, two oxen. We had 1,000. So 1,000 oxen go missing, 500 donkeys go missing. And the Sabaeans, a group of people, raided them and took them away. So there goes 1,000, there goes 1,500 animals. Just like that, gone. Okay, verse 16, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven. See, now watch this. The other servant just told him about the Sabaeans taking his 1,500 cows and oxen. He just barely finished talking to him. While, as he was speaking, verse 16, just as he was, another came to him back to back, the fire of God has fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and alone I have escaped to tell you. Now, his sheep, all of his sheep, the sheep and the servants, people that worked the land, he had a lot of land, a lot of cattle, he had a lot of servants, and consumed the servants and the sheep, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was speaking, the next verse says, watch this. While he was speaking, I mean, they were just like, you're telling your friend what happened, and then while you're telling him, somebody else walks up and says, well, you just finished telling him, and then somebody says, yeah, and guess what happened now? So verse 17, while he was still speaking, another one came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And then while he was still speaking about the camels, another also came, verse 18, and said, your sons and daughters were eating, and here comes the big one, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, There they were, doing it again. Now, that's why Job was concerned. Job wasn't concerned because they were doing, if they didn't have this party spirit going on with them, it wouldn't be a problem. But the problem is he knew that when you get drunk, when you get loaded and you get and it becomes a problem, that your heart can go all over the place. And he said that's why he offered up prayers to them on a regular basis. And Kenneth Copeland said that Job had this unhealthy fear. And yet, it never says he had an unhealthy fear. It says he feared what he feared came upon him. But it didn't come upon the whole thing. They make it sound like Kenneth Copeland and his group make it sound like the whole thing came because he feared. Well, it didn't come because he feared. It came because God said, have you tried my faithful, loyal, righteous, blameless servant who's greater than anybody in the earth? That's the truth, friend. I just read it to you. Right? So, okay, here goes. The fire fell from heaven, burned the sheep. While he was still speaking, verse 17, the Chaldeans took all the camels and killed the servant. When your servants are getting killed, friend, you can't get much done. When all the servants left Egypt, Pharaoh went after him at the Red Sea because he got, we don't have anybody to build our kingdom anymore. You see what I'm saying? This is huge. This is wealth we're talking here. Verse 18, while he was speaking, another one came and said, your sons and daughters were drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house and fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Look how that just happened back to back to back. Now, the odds are, if you were counseling Job, or if I was counseling Job, I would be asking him some questions about, you know, what you've been doing. I mean, as a counselor, you have the right, you need to ask somebody, what have you been doing, man? What have you been doing? That's what a good counselor does. So, but counsel is one thing. Hearing from the Spirit of God and hearing what God has to say about that person is a whole different thing. So most people go with the odds. The reason that his friends went with the odds that Job had to have done something wrong, which is what the rest of the book is about, we're going to read it later, but that is, you can understand, because look at the odds of this. I mean, it didn't happen over a 10-year period. It happened in one day and a few hours, maybe less than a few hours. You see, one of them's talking, saying this happened. They took all what do they take first? I'll go back and look at this. Yeah. Raised him, took all of his servants and donkeys and oxen 1 minute, and then the next minute, all of a sudden, fire fell from heaven, burned up his sheep and his servants and consumed them. The next second, while he was still speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans formed a band and took the camels and killed the servants. And while he was still talking, he said, oh, guess what? Your sons and daughters are now dead. And the tornado came along and, you know, the house fell on them. They were eating and drinking and partying. Did Job have a fear of that? He had a fear that they would curse God. So when you fear that your children might curse God, is that an unhealthy fear? Or is that a reality? Because we know it can happen. Now, if it's not possible, if there's no reason for them to be doing that, if they're not drinking and partying, then you pretty well, if you have a fear about them, you know, then that's different. But when you know they're messing up and you know their hearts can stray and curse God and whatever, then, you know, whatever could happen to them, that's a whole different kind of thing. There's good fears and there's bad fears. And the things that Job feared about his children did come upon him, right? But this is not how it started and why it happened. It happened because God opened up the door for Satan, and he took the hedge down. He didn't take the hedge down because, oh, yeah, I know Job's got a fear that if I take the hedge down, he's going to be taken. It had nothing to do with that. There was no mention of any of that. Oh, yeah, you know, God did it because Job had a fear. It has nothing to do with any of that whatsoever, y'all. You see what I'm saying? Anybody with me on this? Okay, I hope you're hearing this. And we're trying to set you free from the fear of unnecessary fears. All right, so I could go on and on and on about this. And then look what Job does right away. Then we're going to stop. All right, so all this happened to him. He just found out his children were, when he found out his children had died, then he rose and tore his robe. Because that's one thing he was concerned about, that they had cursed God and that it opened up a door for them to be taken out. He did fear that. Was that an unhealthy fear? It doesn't look like it to me. Looking at Job's life as a very God, when God Almighty says you're blameless and you fear God and you're holy and you're just serving God, you're the greatest man in all the world. I don't think you got some hidden something over there. God ain't going to lie for nobody. Right? He ain't going to lie for you. He ain't going to lie for me. God don't lie. So you see what this teaching has done, friend, with most people, it's opened the door for them to fear, oh, if I'm not doing everything just right, if I have some kind of fear, if I'm really overly concerned about my children, I could be opening up the door for them to be destroyed. You know, if you have a real fear, I mean, fear is, there are good fears over your children. There are good fears to have that you understand you fear God and you know the Bible. You know that people in their heart when they're getting loaded and drunk and whatever they're doing, right? And they can open up the door, of course. But that wasn't Job's situation. He did fear it. But was it unhealthy fear? Or was it just something that he knew that his children, you know, for whatever reason, were doing that? Okay? It said, after he found out his children had died, and all this other stuff happened back to back, Job rose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. That right there, friend, showed right away that Job, if Job would have had fears, unhealthy fears, he wouldn't have been worshiping God. He'd have been going to the counselor, finding out, maybe I didn't spend enough time with my children. Maybe that's why they did that. Or maybe I didn't do this, and maybe I didn't do that. Because fear, you know, fear comes from things that you're not doing in your life that you know to do. So if you got things in your life you know you're supposed to be doing and you're not doing them, it opens up the door to fear. So if he hadn't been taking care of his children, you know, the way a father does, then that would have, you know, been the case. He would have been going to the counselor. But no, what did he do? He didn't go to the counselor. He falls on the ground, it begins to worship God. He said, naked I came. He did not accuse God of one thing. Because when you have fear in your life, fear is what accuses God. God, you did. Fear opens up the door for all kinds of things to happen to you. And most people, I'm telling you, friend, the things that they're dealing with, they really do have fears that open up doors. But some people, the things they've considered to be the fears that, like Kenneth Copeland taught, that if you fear, you know, so when you read this thing about his children, you see that you can see why he was concerned. Just like any loving mother or father would be concerned about his children. They're drinking and partying. Three times it said they were drinking and partying. Three times in the first chapter. It only has 20 verses, 22 verses. Three times. Yeah, they were drinking and partying. And then the last verse said they were drinking wine. Right, we know wine's not bad within itself, but it's bad when you drink it. You're a drinker of wine, and so it wasn't that they, you know, the Bible even says don't drink water. Back in those days, it said don't even drink the water, which I don't know how they kept from getting dehydrated, because it literally says don't drink the water, drink a little wine for your body. So we know that drinking a little bit of wine is good for your stomach, because that's what the Bible says. If you don't like what the Bible says, then throw it out. Just take that prayer page and mark it out and tear it out. That's what you're going to do. But don't be telling me, because I know what the Word of God says. Right? But when you become a person who, you know, this thing takes hold of you and you become a drinker, then, you know, be not drunk with wine, the Bible says. That's what it talks about. So they were obviously being drunk with wine. And when you do that, you open up the door, just like drugs. Drugs open up the door of your heart. Things. That's what happened to me when I was a basically normal kid. When I started drinking, doing drugs, doing all kinds of drugs, and partying all the time and drinking all the time, man, I got darker and darker and darker as it went along. You don't even know you're doing it. That's what it does to you. And that's what Job, see, like with me, if I saw my children doing that, if I saw somebody's kids doing that, anybody's kids doing that, for the mind of somebody, you know that that's you can understand why they're very concerned about it, right? And why we need to learn how to pray for our children, how to pray for our finances, that we don't fear it. And truly, you can bring that upon you, because fear causes you to make wrong decisions. Hallelujah. All right, which we can all do. All right, so we've got to get a hold of this thing and find out, how do we know that Job didn't have those fears, unhealthy fears? He had fear, but not unhealthy fear. How do we know that? When all this stuff happened to him, including losing his children, he didn't go, God, I feared it. No, he's right here. He fell on the ground and began to worship. And then later on, when it says, and what Job feared came upon him, they take that without reading the Bible, in my opinion, and getting a hold of the balance of this whole thing, so that we can teach people that you can be very concerned about your people and walk in the fear and reverence of all God. And that fear, the fear and reverence of God, what does the fear and reverence of all God do for you? It tells you that you can go to hell, right? A person can go to hell. So what do? You just go, oh, well, who cares? No, you're very concerned about that. Is that fear? Unhealthy fear? No. The reverential fear and awe of God will grip your heart. Well, you'll be shaking and you'll be like on the floor shaking and like, oh, God, please. Like all the men of God in the Bible did. So the fear of God convinces you that when you mess up, a mess up may be on your way. Right? That's what it says. That's what Job's friends against him told him, which is a true statement that they were wrong about Job. What are the odds of that? 1,000,000,000 to 1? That wasn't Job's fault? As a counselor, I can tell you that was 1,000,000,000 to 1 thing. I've had a few 1,000,000 to 1, 1,000,000 to 1 things myself. I know what it's like to be judged of things because all the circumstances, like in Job's life, that 1,000,000 to 1, come on, Job. You know what you're hiding something. You got to be hiding something. You narcissistic, bum. You hiding stuff. We know who you are. You can't have that stuff going on. The Bible says, and so, how many of you guys have had that happen to you? You're totally innocent, and some well-meaning, somebody who even loved you maybe, went with the odds, and, there you go, went with the odds. What are the odds that within a few minutes, this happened, if you narrow this down, this might have happened within an hour or two, losing everything within an hour or two. Maybe, let's say, 3 hours. Because it says back to back. As he was telling him, it happened. And then as he was telling him, the next thing happened. You tell me that that's not like within at least a 3 hour period, maybe less than that. I don't know. You going to tell me the odds of Job having nothing to do with that? The odds of that are rare. This particular situation, Job was the one, the odds were against him, 1,000,000 to 1, but his one was the one that was right. Friend, you got to learn to live in that place, because people are going to find fault with you. They're going to accuse you because they're going with the odds. You kind of can't blame them in a way, because in the natural realm, even as a Christian, you read the Bible, and if you go to the Bible, the odds are that Job was guilty of something. He had to be. You see, I want to take away from the Job's friends. They were a bunch of self-righteous, no good bums. No, they were good people who loved God. Those are the hardest kind to forgive. That's why God told me eventually you got to forgive them. Not the ones who are the self-righteous, bunch of bigots. They didn't really like me anyway. No, these people, I think they really liked it. I think they loved Job. I've dealt with this. I know people who love me. I've done this to me, and just like some of you, have had the same thing happen to you to one degree or the other. And the odds, I've had several things, many things, where I've had the odds be 1,000,000 to 1 or maybe 1,000,000,000 to 1. No way that could happen. No way, Chandler. That plus that plus that. Now, you got to be doing something wrong. Well, come on, get it out in the open. Because most of the time, the odds tell you that the odds are right. But sometimes they're not. In Job's case, they weren't. You got to consider that in all you're considering. Right? And who you're pointing the finger at and what's going on. Because you may be pointing the finger at somebody. Well, if the person like Job you know, if like when I know, because I've read Job, I know that when people do that to me, God set me up for a double blessing of some sort, which I've had a few of. So who wants to reject that? Yeah, who wants to reject that? Not me. Yeah. I want to be known as one of the greatest men in the earth, like Job. I want to be just like Job. I like Job a lot, and I can kind of understand his life just a teeny weeny bit. Now I'm not like him. I'm not rich, and I'm not rich and blessed like he is. I'm not really into all that personally. But you know, my job, I have a job to do, and had nothing to do, very little to do with money. It has more to do with going to war prophetically, a prophetic war, to prophesy against the nations. And that's what we're about to do. We're going to enter into that when the war started on October the 7th. You know, as y'all know, I've said it a bunch of times. It's my birthday. The birthday I woke up, God said, happy birthday. I'm going to a slaughter of all these people. Happy birthday. The worst since, you know, the Holocaust. I mean, happy birthday. He said, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't know exactly what he was talking about. You were born for this war. And the war that I personally am called to. And some of you may not be called to that, but I'm called to it. I've been called to it for a long time. I've known it for a long time. That when they said Netanyahu said war and then hit on my birthday, I was like going, plus all the other things about the Antichrist and the market and the different things that, you know, that are million to one, a billion to one, some of the stuff that happened. Yeah, you can't just, so, you know, I'm kind of understanding Job a teeny weeny bit about the odds, at least the odds. Now, people, you got to understand, friend, the reason Job could forgive his friends easier was because he understood that the odds were definitely against him, million to one, maybe a billion to one, biblically. Yep. So you can forgive them. Understand, and they're just trying to help you. Then you can forgive them easier and you get blessed, right? All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the teaching tonight. We're trying to do more teaching right straight out of the Word of God. I like to do that more and more all the time. Some nights I just like to talk, put things together, kind of like a parable type thing. So I hope you understand that. But I do love taking the Word of God and just reading it. That's what we did tonight. We read the whole book of Job. I mean, the whole first chapter of Job. And kind of did some personal commentary, and most of it's self-explanatory. You can see right in that first chapter, didn't even say anything about it. It happened to him because he feared God, because he feared it. It's the first chapter is telling you that Job didn't have that fear, not an ungodly fear. He had a fear, reverential fear in all of God. Who wouldn't be concerned about your children knowing what they're doing? They're young, messing up. Of course, you're going to be concerned about them. But an ungodly fear, don't let the enemy lie to you. Think, oh, look, it could all go down because of you, mama and daddy. It's a lie. It's a lie. So we know that all happened because God asked Satan. God asked, that how it happened is not because Job feared. It happened because God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And then he removed the hedge, and God did every bit of it, as Kenneth Copeland doesn't like to say, because he's trying to make God into a good man. God is not a good man. He's not a decent man either. He's a sovereign, almighty God. All right, let's take callers tonight. We're going to stop right there. All right. My first caller tonight is 214-646. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also please pray for Zena?
Zena, yes. Okay. Absolutely. Pray for Zena. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this teaching tonight, God. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that as we lift Zena to you and all the things that go on, Father, we thank you that you're teaching Terrence and Tanisha, God, how to deal with things, how to not some phony bunch of love for somebody, but to understand that sometimes, you know, God allows things for a season to come. If we need to grow up fast, I hate to say this, but, you know, you've seen people in your life who maybe they lost a father or their mother and they had to grow up fast, right? Well, I don't think that's really a good thing because that can mess us up. But sometimes when God wants us to grow fast and prepare us quickly for something, he will allow things like Job's situation to doubleth. Doubleth mean doubling him meant. So sometimes God allows things to happen because He's adding to us. He's allowing us to go through issues and troubles and problems, and people doing whatever they're doing, so that we can learn quickly. The more duress, the more heavy the situation, the more tribulatory it is, if that's a word, tribulatory, the situation is. If it's a great tribulation situation, well, you can learn fast. If it's just great, that's going to be pretty quick. But so we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of revelation, and Terrence and Tanisha, God, that they will, thank you, look back, and thank you for everything that was done, everything that wasn't done, going, thank you, God, for growing us fast, because we wouldn't have been ready for what we're about to go through in this globe, in our ministry, in our calling, if it hadn't been for what, like Joseph's brothers. I mean, that he had what, 11, 10 of them? I think, 10 at the time, because his brother Benjamin was just little. But his bigger brother, there was 10 of them. He was 11, and Benjamin was 12. So I had 10 of them who, for the most part, not all of them, but most of them, were ready to kill him. He was sent to some circumstances because he was going to rule the world, basically with Pharaoh. But what did God do? He put him in some heavy-duty, compact, heavy-duty situations. He gave him a little bit of time once he was sold out, it's like that song. Once he was sold out by his brothers, taken to Egypt, he had some time to where he, he didn't get accused. In other words, he didn't get accused right off the bat. He had some time to grow. He separated from his parents. God was merciful. He knew that Joseph was young, couldn't handle it too fast, but he knew he could handle it pretty fast because he was smart and yielded to God. And so he gave him time around Potiphar. Potiphar liked him. Obviously, his wife really liked him. Ooh, baby, you are hot. Said Joseph was handsome, and he was well-built. That's what the Bible says about Joseph. So you know that I'm sure some women were, wanting to marry that boy. But he was smart, and he was a righteous man also. And so God gave him a little time being with Potiphar, being away from his family, being away from mom and dad, the favor he had with his daddy, tremendous favor. God kind of broke that addiction little by little, if you can call that little by little. And then all of a sudden he was accused by the woman of the house, Potiphar's wife, and he was falsely, and he was sent off to prison for a few years. And at the time, the pressure was so hard that I think about the 15 years he was there, the 15 years gave him about, enough to learn about 100 years, about 100 years of age with learning well and fast and being 100 years of age. He got that at 15 years, if that makes sense, what I just said. Yeah, so he packed it in there. And when he got all through that, he told his brothers, he said, man, what you meant for evil, whatever the situations that come against us, many times they're going to mean it for evil. They're going to be going, oh, patty cake, baker's man, throw them in the pan. Like some easy, greasy little thing. No, it's like they're going to do it with evil intentions. So it's not like some false, phony love for his brothers. No, he started, the way he loved them was that he realized that God had chosen them, allowed the situation to happen, even though they did mean it for evil, and he told them that. He didn't ooey-gooey it and say, oh, brothers, I'm sorry, I know you didn't mean it. No, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, right? And God used you to put a lot of pressure on me. With Potiphar, getting away from dad was hard. Being away from my family was very difficult. Being in a strange land was very, very difficult. But I got a few years, and that was not too bad. And then I got thrown into prison, and that was really a lot of pressure. So a lot of years of learning and growing. Of course, Joseph was a man of God. He loved God. So it worked. It worked. And then when he took over for Pharaoh, he basically ran the world and fed the world and did it. A financial, amazing financial whiz, you know, I haven't really gotten into that. I'm going to talk about that some night, about some of the trading Joseph did for Pharaoh when the famine hit and how he got all the land for Pharaoh. So the government, and really, in a sense, the government owned all the land, but that was all over with. Yeah, Joseph did all that. Yeah, so, and that has its own picture. It's not the Antichrist picture. It's not a picture of the Antichrist. In a sense, it is, but it's a picture of Christ, what Christ is going to, you know, Christ is going to own everything. And it's going to be ours, but he's going to rule it, right? He's going to rule the earth. All right, anyway, all right, God bless in that Jesus' name. All right, 912-398, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Paulette, Georgia.
Hey, Paulette. All right, thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for the mission of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for administering to her, God, your freedom, the freedom in love and compassion, Father, for her people, for those that surround her, God, that she can see the needs that they really have. Give her wisdom and discernment to know the real needs. People will tell you what my need. Oh, I need some money. Oh, I need some this. I need a car. I need this. And if they do, that's great. But but God will show you what the real need is. Paulette, so that you can help meet, you know, help pray and believe God to meet the real need that they have. Because when people's real needs aren't being met, they never are satisfied. But once they get the real need, and that's met, and that's satisfied, then a lot of the other things that they think they want go away, right? So may God help you and give you grace to, but God knows exactly what we need. We think we need all these other things. And, you know, God, I know what you need. I know what your real hunger is about. And so when God knows what our real hunger is, he feeds that hunger. And then he causes all of our other hungers to kind of like, if they're unhealthy, just to go away. We just don't need them anymore. Because why? We're being satisfied in the true and correct way. All right, may God give you wisdom on that and bless you on that in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 610-969, let me talk to you again, please.
Hi, Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA, and I was asking for a prayer for Andre and Devontae, please.
All right.
Thank you, Prophet Randy.
Hi. Thank you very much. All right. All right, Devontae and Andre. Thank you, Lord, for Devontae, Father. We thank you for Devontae, God, that you help keep him in that place where he doesn't get scattered out and get all scattered and get confused. Help him keep contained, where his emotions are contained, where his thoughts are contained, where he's able to, by the word of God, of course, and by the love of God, to contain his life so that he doesn't get all spread out and doesn't know who he is. I know when we're young, we're serving God. You know, the devil has all kinds of strategies to try to get us all scattered out everywhere into all kinds of things. We don't even know what we're doing anymore. I've been there, done that. God, that you will keep him contained in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, bringing people that will help him stay focused on what he needs to stay focused on in Jesus' name. Amen. And so thank you, Lord, for Andre. God, thank you, Lord, for Andre, that teaching Andre how to fight the good fight, how to put on the gloves, and learn how to, when he prays about things, he goes to the root of the issue and not just some surface thing, that he knows what God is dealing with instead of what he wants to deal with. And when we deal with what God wants to deal with, like Jesus went to the root of the tree, he cursed the fig tree, and when he did that, the fig tree dried up, right? And the problem went away. Some people would try to, you know, in that particular case, digging around it, obviously, and working on it wasn't going to help any. It was about cursing it and dealing with it right away. He didn't waste time with it. He just, you know, went right to it. And he said, obviously, that was the will of God, right? So he didn't waste much time with it. So help Andre, God, to not waste time on things. Either curse things that need to curse so they can dry up, and then bless the things that need to be blessed, and till the things that need to be tilled and worked around. Like the one person who said the tree was not bearing any fruit, let's just chop it down. The boss said that, and then the servant goes, well, have it one more year. Let me dig around it and fertilize it. And so he did. So what happened? It came back to life. We'll teach Andre how to do that, God, in his own life, in Jesus' name. And for Lisa tonight, God, we thank you for Lisa. Thank you, Jesus, for to show her how to feed herself with the balance of the Word of God, the balance in her nutritional diet, so that her brain can get the food that it needs. Teach her more how to feed her brain, how to feed her. Like with me, I'm learning how to feed my brain. I got an article I want to read you real quick. I just got this thing. Maybe I got this for you. I don't know if I can find it. White matter. I was reading an article, Lisa, about some things, and I said I was doing a search on geniuses and how a genius's brain works. I was doing a search on it. And so it said that geniuses have a lot more white matter on in those areas. They have a lot more white matter. The white matter in the brain is what causes the brain to communicate. So they're able to communicate better, and therefore they're very, very smart. But here's what he says here. Here's one of the ways. He said white matter, on the other hand, responds. And I was looking for, okay, what is white matter? How do you get your brain to respond to things? So white matter, on the other hand, responds mainly to a steady diet of healthy fats. Because brain matter is made up of fats. This is something I've been learning. If you're out for dinner, dump some dark green olive oil all over your meal. Or other sources of wonderful fats, cold water fish, organic, nut butters. I eat organic almond butter, that kind of thing. Maybe anyway, that's what it says. Organic nut butters, coconut, and avocado. Coconut oil is what I have. And this is just coconut. So coconut and avocado. So what I'm hearing, maybe I got to look at it for you today. I don't know. I'm studying the brain again, as I always do. But seeing that, when we start feeding our brain properly, I think that we can get our brain to heal itself. Like if we have been born, we have a genetic code in our that causes our brain to not do what it needs to do, then I think that what the true matter is that we need to find what feeds our brain so that our brain can heal itself, because that's, what about God healing it? Well, that's what God made the brain to do. Well, God made the brain to heal itself. He made the body to heal itself. That's what God made it, because you know all that. So that's what I'm saying. So some reason, so you might remember that and listen to that again, and maybe you already do that, I don't know. But to get your brain, that's what I'm doing. I'm working on my brain. So anyway, that was a brand new one. I kind of like that. So welcome to the brain wave. All right, 915-248. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel in Texas.
Hey, Daniel. Daniel, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel. Thank you, Lord, for opening his mind up to what true success is, God. True success starts in the heart. Success starts in our brain, in our mind, because if we can't think clearly about what the Word of God says, then we always misunderstand the Word of God. And I'm finding out that when your brain is not being taken care of, like I think most people do not take care of their brain, don't feed their brain correctly. So when we're cloudy, when we have a lot of, are fuzzy, our brain's kind of fuzzy for whatever reason. Most of the time, it's because we're eating too much of some things and not enough of the right things. Like, I have my Coke float every Thursday or Friday, whenever I want to, once a week. And so I do that. And then the rest of the time, I don't have those sugars. I eat other sugars. And so it keeps my brain, because I'm learning how to feed my brain, like I was telling Lisa, learn how to feed my brain what it needs so that when I read the Word of God or when I get an instruction, from the Lord somehow or another, then my brain can properly put it into action. That's the problem. People hear the Word of God, but their brain's kind of confuzzy and they don't really know, okay, how do I do that? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to apply that. Right. Our brain really is made to apply it naturally. Right. God made our brain, Daniel, to apply things, to apply knowledge of the Bible just automatically. But what happens is it's so fuzzy, we strain and we stress. You know, I know I have. And so God said, feed your brain, Randy. Work on feeding your brain. I'm going, well, I should be feeding myself the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. That's what I used to say. I would rebuke God, you know. I need to just pray and get the Holy Ghost. He said, Randy, feed your brain or you're not going to do much of anything. Not consistently. You can hit it here and there, Daniel, as you already know. But to walk consistently with God and to have a clear head and to be able to do what the Word of God says, we need to have our brains taken care of. We need to feed our brain so that our brain can work. Because when our brain is working, Daniel, as God made it, it will take the Word of God if you have the Holy Spirit. Right, when you have the Holy Spirit, your brain automatically and the Holy Spirit work together. Your brain is made to work with the Holy Spirit, believe that or not. So when you feed it right, give it all what it needs, the nutrition, then it works. It's like your car. If you don't put gas and oil in there, what happens? It just doesn't work. It's hot and closes down. It freezes up. Same thing with our brain. Exactly the same thing with our brain. And so when your brain's working, when it's clear, when you're feeding it, the Holy Spirit, since you already have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in you, then your brain can unfog the Word of God and turn it into something clear and pure and beautiful. And you can be led by the Holy Spirit, you know, much more easily. So, God, I thank you for that. Thank you for increasing His knowledge. Increase His knowledge, not just biblical knowledge, from just spiritual things, but from natural things, from the Word of God, that He will do all of it, God, the full gospel, everything the Word says, that His brain, that His physical body will be strong, His brain will be strong, and He will be able to think clear thoughts, and because He has the Holy Spirit will be able to get upon His brain, and the way God made our brain, and will cause our brain to be able to literally, our brain is the part of us that literally figures out exactly what to do. How can I apply this? That's what your brain does with the help of the Holy Spirit. All right, so thank you, Lord, for that. Bless him, Jesus. May the Holy Spirit be endow him with your presence and your knowledge, God, in Jesus' name. And then may he be able to apply it because his brain is getting fed. Take care of his brain. Amen. I'm kind of on a brain thing, but you'd be surprised what it's been doing for me, bro. It's been blessing me. All right, 912-318. Who want to talk to you from, please? Are you there?
I don't know who that is.
All right, hang on a second here. All right, thank you, Jesus, for my friends tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving them the grace to comprehend with all the saints the height, the width, the length, the breadth of the love of God. Lord, that you're doing a love thing inside of this, my friend tonight, God, you're doing a love thing inside of them in the name of Jesus. You're causing them to see love and know love and be filled with love. The love of God is moving inside them in Jesus' name and causing them to see things and know things from the realm of the love of God instead of just human love. Yep. All right, in Jesus' name, and let that be done right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. Open up that love realm, Jesus. May my friend think and act and move on the love of God, the love of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the pure love of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that they will learn how to continue in the love, to live in the love, to abide in love, because when you abide in love, then you think love thoughts. When you abide in love, my friend, love thoughts will come to you. In other words, the thoughts that you get about how to deal with a person or a thing will have love. Your thoughts will have love, the love of God in it, and therefore your thoughts will be love thoughts, right, instead of anger thoughts or frustration thoughts or, you know, God forbid, hate thoughts, right? Because hate thought, when hate comes in somebody, their brain has to deal with that. So, but when love comes in, your brain begins to, you know, figure out how to, you know, physically, literally, love somebody. Right, so thank you, Lord, for that with my friend tonight in Jesus' name. Move upon them, Father, in the name of Jesus, and cause them to see that whole filled with the Holy Spirit, to be blessed by the Word of God in Jesus' name, and activate within them, Father, the understanding that you want to bless them above and beyond anything they can even think or even imagine. Open them up to that, Jesus, in new ways, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. They won't suffer loss anymore. All right, 325-280, you want to talk to me, friend, please?
Hey, it's Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, Chris, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Chris. God, I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for that compassion inside of him, God, that you're unlocking. But that compassion is not just for healing, or for, but it's for everything. Whatever God is doing, you're going to be moved with compassion toward that. It could be moved with compassion to hand somebody, you know, $5 or take them out to dinner. It could be moved with compassion to sit and talk to them a little bit, maybe give them some counsel, share some things with them, so that whole realm of being moved by compassion, God, in Jesus' name, that will cause him to be moved toward what he needs to do. In other words, when you get moved by the Holy Spirit, like Jesus was moved, what was he moved to do? He's moved to go to a certain city. That's what came upon him. I want you to go to Capernaum right now. Love was telling him to go to Capernaum. You know, compassion was saying, you know, go. There's a funeral coming down the road. Go right there and just wait. There's a funeral coming. And so he went down there, and what was that doing? That compassion moved him. Well, I thank you for compassion moving Chris, God. Compassion can move you to make a business deal. Compassion can move you to do a lot of things. Jesus was moved by compassion. And I thank you, Lord, for that spirit of compassion inside my brother, God, that you're opening up and clarifying and moving him, whatever you want him to do, whether it's go out and help somebody mow the yard or go, you know, get some post hole diggers and dig a hole. You know, love the compassion of God will, draw him to do those things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of compassion, that he will be moved. So easily moved, God, that nothing will hinder Chris from being moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by compassion. Because I keep getting this thing about compassion, Chris, is what I keep hearing. It's like God's saying, you know, you already are moved by compassion, right? You already do that. But God is increasing that and multiplying that, because every time you do it, every time you yield to it, right, it increases. That's why when the Bible talks about the ones who had five talents and two talents and one talent, that they did with they took what they had and worked it, right? And then what did it do? You know, God blessed them. Same thing with compassion. When you move with compassion and do what it says, then it goes, oh, I'm going to give you more of that. So pretty soon, you're not just moved a little bit, you're moved a lot. Jesus was moved much by compassion. One of the things that people say, oh, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, one of the things that leads us by the Holy Spirit is compassion, because it moves us to do things. When you move to do things by God, as you know, he turns around and blesses you for that. He didn't bless us for things we do on our own. I mean, you know, thank God we were nice. We did something great. But, you know, when we're moved by compassion, compassion is from God, and only God can move us by compassion. And when we're moved by God by compassion, then God blesses us for that, because it was what? A move of compassion from him. Well, thank you, Lord, for that. Just wrap his heart up in that, Jesus. Let your love penetrate him in a new way as never before, God. Fill his heart with fire and the Holy Ghost. Woo, Jesus' name, loosen him, God. A whole nother level of the river. A whole nother level of the river. In this river, dude, you're not going to be able to find the bottom. In other words, you walk in, you get ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then you just dive in, right? It's like I see you diving in, or you can't feel the bottom. You know, or in other words, you're going to be deep with God. Let it happen in Jesus' name, Lord. Open it up for him. Amen. All right. 240-482. Who am I talking to your friend, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hi, Valerie. Valerie, I just sense the sweetness of the Holy Spirit just moving on you. Sweetness of God. The sweetness of God. The sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet heavenly dove. Stay right here with us. I got down low on that. Filling us with your love. You know, yeah. Jesus, fill her with the Holy Ghost, Father. Fill her with, Ushikata Marikampa, Waha, Pachuela, Polero, Gili, Kringiki, Tekustepi, Pufa. Fulfill her desires, God. Fulfill her desires. The desires that you have given her. Every time we yield ourselves to his desires, God, I want your desires. I want your desires. Then what does he do? He gives us his desires, and they're literally ours. And that's why we're led by the Spirit, because we're literally going by the desires. We all have desires, our own desires. We have desires that can be of God, right? But how do we get them transferred over? We keep saying, you know, the more daily we do it, the more several times daily we do it, the more we activate that and we enter into that. And so when you do that, you know, God begins to, it becomes really real. It becomes really powerful. And you find yourself in it just all the time. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that, thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling Valerie with your love. Come upon her and show her your precious love, so she can walk every day, no matter what may come. She will serve you all day long. Amen. The more we dedicate ourselves to God, the more we grow and increase. Amen. Yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Heavenly. Wow, that was cool. All right, nice little song there. Let's keep up with that. All right, 402-650. I'm going to talk to you something. 402-650. I think John and Melissa, I think they must get up early. I got a Christian. Oh my gosh. I just realized something here. Okay, I'm going to stop right now. Hang on a second here. I'm going to get, had two people text me, Andrika and Chris, and also Daryl Paul, and, Paul and Nicole. I'm going to pray for them right now. Then I'm going to pray for Andrika, and then I'm going to pray for 402, okay? So I'm going to send them a little text. And okay. All right, thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul and Nicole, God, from D.C. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for just, you know, to not take advantage of each other and take full advantage of everything God has for you. Like, I see you learning how to, you know, we all, I don't care who we are, you know, we get used to something and we take advantage of it. You know, we don't even know what we're doing. I do it on purpose. But so God starts teaching us how to not take advantage of each other, but take full advantage of God. Woo! Shepa kwala prandako chelie mehere. Lord, I just speak into that realm of generosity, Father. There's that generosity thing again. Wow. Of just how to take advantage of everything God is. That's what God loves us for, taking advantage of him. He loves for us to, you know, yield to him and believe him for 100-fold, not 50, not 60. He wants us to take advantage of 100-fold because that's why he gave it. He doesn't want us to waste one thing. God, I'm thankful for that. Daryl Paul and Nicole will never waste anything. Never waste anything. They're going to use everything you give them to the fullest, and then want more. Want more, want more, want more. That generosity, the spirit of generosity for each other, for God's purposes, for God's will. God, you're going to position them so they can be a blessing, a mighty, mighty blessing. Can we talk about Job tonight? Thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of Job, Father, that he was a righteous man, a godly man. And he was extremely wealthy. He was the greatest man in the whole earth. God said, I read it there tonight. He said that Job was the greatest man in the earth. Not only the richest man, he was the richest man in the east and the greatest man in the earth. That's what it says. I read it tonight. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Lord, for letting them see that, letting them know that, letting them begin to learn how to take. Job took full advantage of everything God had for him. That's what most people don't do. They don't feel like they're worthy of it. They don't feel like this. They don't take full advantage. Jesus died and gave everything to us on the cross. Everything. He gave us his everything. And he wants us, you guys, to take everything he has for us. Amen. So I thank you for opening that up for them, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And bless each other. All right. Okay, so then we got Enrica and Enrica and Chris, Jim 25. Thank you, Lord, for Christian and Enrica. Thank you, Lord, for raising them up. God, I thank you for just raising them up, raising them up, raising them up, raising them up. If they get down about something, you know, we all get down about things sometimes. We all get knocked down a little bit, and just raise them back up, God. Let them always be the people that got raised back up. Knocked down, raised up. Knocked down, raised up. Raised up, raised up. Knocked down, raised up, raised up, raised up. And let the raising up be more than their knocked down. God, that because when you have the resurrection power of Christ in you, whether it's emotionally, mentally, business-wise, relationship-wise, we get knocked down, and we all get knocked down. We all get scarred. We all do stupid stuff. We all do really great stuff. We do things. We're human beings. And yet, if we walk outside that place, when we start walking in no condemnation, therefore now no condemnation, but that's what God showed me. He said, when I don't walk in condemnation at all, I'm able to take the full blessing of God. I'm able to get everything he has for me. Because that's what condemnation does. It causes me to think, oh, you know, you're not really worthy of that much. You know, I got that right. No, I'm doing it. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm receiving my full pardon for everything I ever have done, ever will do, and everything. In Jesus' name. No condemnation here. In Jesus' name, because condemnation is what keeps us from receiving it all. Yeah, and the devil is a liar, and condemnation will make it, will act like the Holy Spirit. Condemnation acts like and looks like the Holy Spirit. Oh, you need to feel bad about your sins for about a week. No, once your mistakes or whatever you did, or you didn't do something or did do something, whatever the thing is, I get more upset myself with the things I didn't do than the things I did, right? Man, I wish I'd have done better at that. You know, condemnation, you know, yeah, can get into that. So thank you, Lord, for that. And that, so they will be able to move faster in their process of going, being raised up, because the quicker you learn to get over things, oh, I wish I would have done that better. I wish I'd done that better. To get over that quickly, no condemnation, boom, you're back. Boom, you're back. Boom, back. Boom, back. Boom, back. Boom, back. Boom, back. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Why? Because it's therefore now no condemnation. Amen. And we jump right in there and we don't, you know, we don't even spend any time with stuff. Being by boom, it's over. I'm forgiven. I bet. Yeah, forget God. Jesus, name. Amen. Done. Moving on. Bounce back. Resurrection. All right, 402-650. I think this is John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Jesus, for their life, God. We thank you, Lord, for separating them and sanctifying them unto you. And that everything that they're that's trying to drag them down, that they will learn how to cast that care upon you and drag it down, put it under their feet, and walk on it, God, in Jesus' name, where they realize that some of the things that happen to me is because of what I'm doing or not doing. Some of the things that happen to me is because the enemy's a liar. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's ignorance. So there's all different kinds of things of why things happen to us, good, bad, and ugly. So what I think is they learn to deal with that, learn to overcome that stuff, in Jesus' name, the less they're going to have to put under their feet, because they're going to keep it under their feet, in Jesus' name, when they make good decisions and make wrong decisions in whatever they did, in Jesus' name, that they correct it as soon as possible and just move on, you know, and put it under, I'm in training, I'm learning. In training, they don't run you through the ringer for not doing what you're supposed to be trained to learn how to do. They don't run you through the ringer. Take it back and show you that, you know, okay, if you do this better and do that a little bit differently, you're gonna get it. The whole thing is getting through the thing, getting over it, right? Conquering it, where now you can do it better. I thank you, Jesus, that they will not live in a realm of I wish I would have, I wish I could have, into the place of I'm blessed, I'm favored, and in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. 804-218, you want to talk to you for a friend, please? Okay. Give me a second. My internet seems to be slowed down for some reason. I had a little trouble here with my internet. Give me just a moment. Weird. I know it's Angie. I'm going to pray over Angie. Thank you, Lord, for Angie tonight until my internet gets better. Thank you for Angie tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus' name, for blessing her, God, for giving her that fresh breath, that refreshing of the Holy Spirit, kind of like, lifting her up above all the stuff that says it ain't going to happen, it's not going to work. It's time, man. It's like God is saying it's time. We're going to war. Going to war means blessing. Going to war means we're dealing with things that need to be dealt with. Going to war means, it's real. It's not no more training. And the training is going to be put into action. The training is about to be used. All the things we've been trained to do, we're going to find ourselves using it and put it into action. So, Lord, I thank you for the real war, for the war that we're under, for the war that we are part of, that we're now in war. I really believe we are now in war, in a war zone. And so I thank you, Lord, for that right now by the power of God. All right, let me see if I can get her on this. Okay, Andrew, you there? Maybe sleep. All right, thank you, Lord, for that. My internet got back on. So thank you, Jesus, once you realize that, number one, we have to realize we're in training. When you're in training, you're learning how to do things that when the real war comes, you're prepared for it, right? So whatever level you came up to and you're growing and learning, and you're training, you'll be a private, you'll be a sergeant, you'll be a captain, you'll be a general, whatever you're going to be. So I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, that that we're entering into war. We're entering to some real things in Jesus' name that things that need to be pulled down, things that need to be taken care of. We've been being trained for a long time, and God, it's time that the war has begun. So let's realize that, understand what's happening, that we're no longer in just training. We're in for the real thing. And when we're in for the real thing, that means outpouring. That means blessing. That means the real thing going to happen. When training, if you're being trained for the Holy Ghost, I mean, God can use you. But when you get out there in the real ministry and you start, getting at it, going at it, then it's a whole different thing because you're not being trained anymore. You're actually opened yourself up to whatever God wants to do, and that way he can start pouring it through you. But thank you, Jesus, for that, in Jesus' name, and let it be done. Amen. 803-991, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right. Good day tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Angela. Thank you, Lord, for, I was thinking about you today a little bit. Wonder how you're doing. I don't always think about people, unless God puts my mind, so just thinking, good thoughts and thinking about you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God. Thank you for raising her up. Thank you for giving her, as she's learning, giving her the understanding of how to take what she's done and improve it. That's what we always do. We always learn. That's what training. We're doing things. We learn to do it better. We get into real warfare. We learn how to, aim the gun better. We use the sword better. Whatever we're doing, we perfect it. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. Everything in her, God, is, taking what she's seen, taking what she's had, and her obedience, letting that activate within her, Father, the ability to sharpen her sword, to, do things, to take things from the 30-fold to the 60-fold, and then to the 100-fold, to the place to where we sharpen things. We look at what we've done, and we go like, "Okay, that was awesome. Thank you, God, for that." And then we improve. And each time we do, like writing a book, or each time we write a book, or each time we do a song, or whatever we're doing, every time we do it, we do it a little bit. We're aware of, okay, my last thing I did this is really, really good, but here's how I improved it. And so thank you, Lord, that she's able to learn. And come to the knowledge of the truth. Not ever learning, not coming to knowledge, but ever learning ever learning. She's always learning God and coming to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus. And she knows what the root of the problem is, what the thing is, how to correct it, how to do it, how to make it better and better and better. You got 100-fold on everything. Everything, 100-fold. 100-fold blessing on everything. In Jesus' name, where nothing fails, nothing is not success, everything is successful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be done. Spirit of success upon her, Father. 847-505, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you tonight. Okay, hang on a second here. All right. Thank you, Marja. Thank you, Lord, for Marja. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of the spirit of gifts. The gifts. We're getting close to Christmas time, Thanksgiving, all that. Thanksgiving, what, next week? And the gifts, God, that you've given her, God. I see you being thankful, seeing what you have been given and being thankful for that and going, God, thank you for what you've given me. I know I want more, and wanting more is not – wanting more is you know, is what God wants us to do. He wants us to take, like I gave a word to somebody earlier today, it's like take advantage of everything he's given us and realize, you know, see what he says, see written on paper, like he wants to send you a note saying, this is what I have for you, Marja. And we go like, oh, wow, that's a lot. I don't know if I can get it. I don't know if I can do all that, handle all that. You're like going, yeah. So I think that Marja, the spirit of the Lord upon her, to give her the ability to say, yes, Lord, you know, I can do that. Yes, Lord, I can. That can happen. Yes, that's possible. Yes. You know, help me think higher. And I see God giving you higher thoughts. We already have high thoughts, right? But we go higher and higher and higher with God. Give her the high thoughts. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours. Until he gives them to you, right? And then all of a sudden, your thoughts are higher. That's what getting our mind renewed is, Marja, as you know. So thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, that she will take full advantage of everything, God, you've given her, that she will not waste one thing. She will realize that you have blessed her, God. You have much for her, but all she has to do is just come into agreement with it. And come into agreement isn't just like going, okay, Jesus, that's part of it. Coming into agreement is putting action behind what you say. You know, okay, I agree with you, God. Now we can step out and we do some action. Add some action to that. Faith without works is dead, but faith with works things to life. Well, thank you, Lord, for Marge and her faith. I thank you for her strong faith in you, Jesus. She's learning how to use her faith to launch and step out, Father, to activate, to cause that thing to come to life. Faith with works, you know, faith with action is, you know, faith without action is dead. So faith with action brings that thing alive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come alive. By her action, God, in Jesus' name, bless her, God. Give her that anointing. That's that anointing that is in her. Increase upon her, God, so she can step out and by faith in Jesus' name and do that thing you're telling her to do, God. In the name of Jesus, and bless her socks off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 612-991, who would talk to you? Where are you from, please? Rejoice tonight and her family. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for her life, God. We thank you, Jesus, for her the blessings in her life, God, in the name of Jesus. Give me a second here. Send you the text on this, the time. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in her, God. Thank you for adding to her, God, adding to her. Amen. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things are added to us. Lord, I thank you that she's been a lover, a giver of you, God. She's given her life to you. She's given her will to you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're adding to your. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, Joyce, is your life. It's the things God has you involved in, your children, your family, you, your mama, everybody, you know, and the people in the church you go to, wherever you go to church and wherever you do that in your ministry, that's all the kingdom of God. That's what that is. And so when you seek first the kingdom of God, what's best for your children, what's best for your family, what's best for, being involved in your church or however ministry you're involved in, that seeking that first, and then God is able to add to us. So I thank you, Jesus, for that and showing her how to do that and then add to her, God, multiply her, increase her. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Amen. And let it be opened up in the name of Jesus, that she will never fail. She will never falter. She will never be without, God. She will always be loved and warmed, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just see the Lord being with you there in your bedroom and, sitting there in a chair watching over you, like they're with you in Jesus' name. Wow, that's awesome. All right, Joyce, and we pray for your babies. We pray for, or your children, God. We thank you for blessing her family, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open her up. Open up her family, God, to you, God, that they will be able to grow up, have their life, and follow you, Jesus. And everybody follows God a little bit different way. That's what the kingdom of God with us is whatever God has us do, he has us be a part of. Like you're part of one church, your kids can be part of something else, whatever, and all different parts of the kingdom of God that they're a part of, that God, that they will be involved in your kingdom in Jesus' name, and seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all those other things will be added to them, God, in Jesus' name. Bless the adding to in the name of Jesus. Multiply and increase them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. 863-605, you want to talk to your friend, please? Yeah, I was thinking, Carl. I thank you, Lord, for Nick and Charles, God. Thank you for their heart to love you, God. Thank you for their desire to lay their lives down and to follow you and to do what you say. And their life is about the kingdom, that they seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for taking all the things you've done, like we take the cream from milk and we churn it and make butter out of it. In other words, we're working it. We're learning how to work what you give us. You bless us with the butter. You bless us with the cream from the milk. We take the milk of the word. We take the word of God. We take and make cream out of it. And the cream, and we churn that cream and make butter out of it, God. And I thank you for the glory of God on Nikki's life, God, that you take everything she's gone through and the things she's learned from it, the cream from the milk, and churn that she churns that and turns that into glory, God, turns that into butter, turns it into something that can be used to, feed people, to nurture people, to bless people, to bring people into their calling, to cover them, protect them, to watch over them, to pray for them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and to love them in the name of the Lord. But they will be mothers and fathers to people in the kingdom of God, mothers and fathers in the kingdom of heaven. Father, that they are searching for your will, for your people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And everything they do, God, you're going to reward them for that as they do it unto you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Open it up. Bless them, double them, increase them, and multiply them, God, in the name of Jesus. Every seed they've sown, amen, in the name of Jesus, open it up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. Opening up is freedom. God is opening up. When he opens up, it's freedom. Open up, God. Open up for them. Open up, you gates. Open up your everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. All right, 863-808. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Cheryl from Florida, and I would like you to pray for Tara and also Amy and Ben.
Okay, let me get that right. Tara, Amy, and who?
Ben. Amy and Ben are married.
Amy and Ben. Okay, Ben. All right, got it. Tara, Amy, and Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Amy, Tara, and Ben. Put your book, Amy, Tara, and Ben. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the shepherd's heart, God, that you give your people. Thank you, Lord, for Amy and Ben, God, you give them a heart to shepherd your people, to care for people, to love them. God, uncover everything in their heart that has made them feel like they're not worthy of that or they can't function in that as much as they need to, they want to. God, I thank you, Lord, that they'll be able to bury everything in Christ Jesus in their lives and like wake up one day and go, my God, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. They will wake up in that in Jesus' name and be able to get past things. You can't get past things if you can't bury them. God, that's just, we have to get our shovels out. We have to bury things in them. And I thank you, Lord, for the burying thing, Amy and Ben, God. I thank you, Lord, you can teach them how to bury stuff in Christ. When you bury things, don't bury things. You bury things, you bury them in Christ Jesus. God, we give that over to you. We let that die. We let that go. We forgive. We bless. We move on in Jesus' name so we can receive the fullness of your shepherd's heart to be a shepherd to your people, to love your people, to share that with them what we've learned, what they've learned, what Amy and Ben have learned, God, that they will be able to share with others what they have learned, what they've gone through, and to come out on the other side in Jesus' name, that they will find that grace is their sufficiency. They will not be, not by works, not by, righteous works are different. But our salvation and all that is not by works. That's all free. That's all by faith. And then once we're born again, then we do the works of God. We do the works of God. Works are important, but we've got to realize that we're not doing it for our salvation. Our salvation has been bought and paid for. If you're born again, you're born again. And then he says, now get out there and labor in the field. And Jesus' name. And sometimes we have to put things behind us, bury things. Things, as Jesus' name. Paul says, leaving those things behind. I search, I move forward, I go forward. And I thank you, Lord, for enabling them to move forward in Jesus' name. Give Amy, God, love it, uncover her heart, uncover all the things that tried to cover up her heart. In Jesus' name, uncover it, God, uncover it. Everything, every bit of condemnation, every bit of fear. In Jesus' name, cause them to for thank you, Jesus, for that. And if people text me during the show, sometimes I get distracted here. Thank you, Lord, for that with Amy, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're uncovering everything that's been covered up. Anything that's been smothering her in any fashion or form, that she'll be able to take a full breath, a fresh breath of God, a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And open up to God in a brand new way. And Jesus, that she never has before. That she can confide in you, God, and trust you, God, and trust your people. Amen. And for Ben, God, we thank you for Ben, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that has been his heart, the things that has caused his heart to be hardened, that you begin to soften that, begin to give him understanding of why things happen, just like Joseph, everything that happened to Joseph, you know. And when it came down to it, a lot of unnecessary suffering he did, that Joseph looked at it like, you know, what people meant for evil, God meant it for good. That way we can forgive him and we can bless him. And Ben will begin to see that Jesus in the Bible, some of the greatest people of God, were people who were mistreated, you know, amazing mistreatments. And yet they learned how to, say what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. And then Joseph was able to receive his family and take care of them and bless them, even though they had, you know, basically betrayed them and betrayed him and, you know, got rid of him. He saw it as God's plan to get him where he could do his job. Amen. All right. For terror, God, I think for terror tonight, Jesus, and take authority over any principalities and power. God, in Jesus' name, to try to mess with her, try to guide her and lead her in the wrong direction. God, that the true prince and the true power of the air, the Holy Spirit, that's in the air all over the place, that prince, the prince of life, Jesus Christ, God, becomes her prince, becomes her life, becomes her victory. Father, in Jesus' name, that the overall sovereignty of God in her life is being developed. No matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on, that you're gonna let her see that even with all the mistakes and all the failures and all the different things, God, that you are guiding her and leading her in spite of anything. That because she's given herself to God at different levels and times of her life, it's opened her up to that place where, you gave your will to me, now I'm going to get you in my will no matter what. Yeah, I'm going to keep you in my will. I'm going to cause you to walk in my will. And then I'm going to take everything that wasn't my will and make it my and turn it around and let those things that weren't my will cause you to get in my will. Like you can't get away from God. Like you can't. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Amen. In Jesus' name, nothing can separate me. Nothing can separate me. Nothing can separate me. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. For Cheryl tonight, God, thank you for Cheryl. Thank you for the things that she gets angry at. That anger can be a good thing. Be angry and sin not. So we get angry. Anger is good. And we, just like we talk about Job tonight, where Job, people think that fear he had was some, sin he had in his life. And can find out it wasn't at all. That just like anger can be a thing, that can be misunderstood, but so can fear. If you have a healthy fear, it can be misunderstood, like people misunderstood, the word of God over Job, being a righteous man and all that, and still saying that fear was like some weakness he had in his life, and now it brought everything upon him. What's a lie from hell? It's a lie from hell. Well, thank you, Lord, that same thing with anger, the anger of the Lord. When that's working, it helps us deal with things when you deal with it. Instead of just letting it go on and on and on, we deal with it, and we get angry about it. We get we're not lukewarm. In Jesus' name, lukewarm people never have any emotions. Lukewarm people try to bury all their emotions. But people who are serving God like Jesus did, goes and takes a whip, drives them out, and he was not exactly happy when he did it, and he never sinned one ounce. Why? Because the passion of Christ can flow, God. I thank you for loosening Cheryl at a whole other level, where she's not bound by what anybody thinks, what anybody might want to think. You're angry because you're like in the flesh. And let her see it's what God thinks about fearing God, not about fearing people. And that way she can deal with those things that need to be dealt with. Amen. At the fullest level. The anger of the Lord deals with those things. Believe me. When he gets angry, it's like Jesus. When the anger finally built up, he walked by the temple many times. Many times he walked by the temple. That one day, last day, he went in there and he looked. Yeah, they're still doing it. I think it's in Mark or what he said. He went and he looked. And then his disciples went to Bethany or wherever it was. They came back the next day. He had the whip because he'd been working. God had been working it for a while. Finally, the anger built up to a point, godly anger. And God said, it's time to deal with this. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes anger is needed to bring the power to deal with it. All right. 919-995. Who would talk to me from, please? Nine one nine nine five. Are you there? All right, Cheryl, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, the other Cheryl. Cheryl's back-to-back tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for showing her how to deal with those things that we just think it's not time to deal with it. It's not time to show the time, how to deal with things. There comes a time. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time to, let things go. There's a time to not let anything go. So start showing her, God, how to deal with those things. Things she needs to let go. Some things she needs to quit. It's time to deal with it. The timing on things. I let her sense and know of the timing. It's time to move forward. It's time to sit down. It's time to whatever the timing is. So thank the Lord for that. And she will understand the timing of the Lord and know that, you know, like with me, you know, like when I was trying to do some ministry things, you know, I kept trying. It wasn't working. And finally, the time opened up, and it was just done. It just happened. And so we learned that, you know, not to get too frustrated because things are not happening when we think. But just keep believing God and keep persistently, experimenting or trying or looking, trying God, testing God to see, you know. And so, you know, sometimes we have to test the things of God because we don't know. And show the Lord how to do that, and know it at the right time, at the right place to do things. And sometimes we, you know, there's a time, about different seasons in our life. There's different seasons, the grass grows, the flowers, the birds sing, you know, we got their mowing the yard, anyway, we join all that, and then all of a sudden it turns, you know, to fall, and then winter, and, you know, the whole thing. So each season has its own thing. And there's a season, there's a time to deal with things, and there's a time, you know, when fall comes, basically you quit mowing the yard. You know, when winter comes, you don't do anything. You don't mow anything. All right, it's all resting. So teach her that. Teach her the seasons, God, in Jesus' name. And when it comes, you know, the timing of when to deal with something, when not to deal with it. All right, 769-220. I think that is... Yeah, that's intriguing, Chris. I already got that. All right. Catch you guys. Already prayed over them. All right. Get that hand up there because I'm about to run out of hands. If I run out of hands, I'm going to go bye-bye. I don't mind taking off early. All right, 225-454. Let me talk to you where you're from, please.
Hi, Karen from Louisiana.
Say it again, please.
I'm sorry. Karen from Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Karen.
Hello.
All right, let's pray for you. Thank you, Karen. All right, thank you, Lord, for Karen tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the advent, for the coming of things, for the, let me see here, the advent. Let me see what the advent means. The advent means coming, doesn't it? Advent. Advent. Advent means the advent of television. For season of Christmas. What does advent mean? The arrival of a notable person. Oh, thing or event. All right, look at that. Karen, right off the bat, advent. I wasn't even sure what advent means. The arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. An example, it says the advent of television, I think. You know. All right, so I got the word advent right away. Like I said, I looked it up because I wasn't sure what it meant, and there it is. Hallelujah. Arrival, appearance, emergence, in other words, surfacing, occurrence, materialization, where it materializes. Woo! Karen, wow. Lord, let that be done in Jesus' name. I know she's claiming that one. Let that be done, God. Let the advent, let that thing show, let it materialize, let it manifest, God, in Jesus' name. The things in her heart have been believing you for, Father, that I think we're just like, I don't know, I think we're kind of moving from training to war. You know, like you train for war, like we're in a war, we're in a battle. A battle, until Jesus Christ comes back, we're in a battle, we're in a war. But we're being trained, then we go to war, and then we start fighting the war. It's a whole different thing. So it's like, you know, so that's when things get dealt with, you know, truly get dealt with. We're not trained on how to do it. We do it, and we actually go confront the situation, and we win the battle. That's what a war is about. A war is confronting, actually going and confronting, right? Whether you have to go across the world or whatever you have to do, you know, like we went and fought ISIS and, you know, all those kind of things. Fought Hitler, you know, we went to... Well, thank you, Jesus, for the advent, for that thing showing up, the manifestation. in her life in the name of Jesus. And let it come forth right now, God. I declare and decree for her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done, God. Manifestation in the name of Jesus and victory. Hallelujah. And victory. That's awesome. I love that. Advent. I get the word Advent. You can't beat that. That's pretty good. All right, 912-339.
Hi, Prophet Randy, Angela Joy, and I have a prayer request, too, for, I've been getting text messages over the last couple of days, for this young man whose intestines has ruptured. He's only like 24 or 25, so they're asking for prayer for him, and that's it. Thank you.
Okay, what's his name again?
Emmett.
I should say it again. I'm having hard to hear you. Sorry.
Hold on
Bennett?
A second. Emmett.
Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T?
Emmett, E-M-M-E-T.
Emmett, okay. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing it very good. All right, Emmett, and then
okay.
he has a, thank you, I appreciate you. And what did you say the problem was? He has some kind of a...
Well, his intestines just ruptured. And
oh, my
he
God.
Was, like, in critical condition. Yeah, they don't know what caused it. And then they did some surgery and... Some of what they did began to rot in him. So then I think that cleared up. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty rough when your insides start doing that. Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank
I'll you. Do that. Thank you, Angela. All right, thank you, Angela Joy. Thank you, Lord, for her life, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you do through her. Jesus, we thank you for her ability to reach out and touch someone, touch those that need to be touched, to pray and believe God. Build their faith up to take on the burden and pray the burden through God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We take authority over Satan's lies, over the lies of the enemy. God, whatever mistakes, whatever sins, whatever failures he's had, God, I thank you in Jesus' name that you give him grace, you give him mercy, you give him time. You move upon him, God, and I find you, Satan, in Jesus' name. You cannot have him. You cannot mess with him. You cannot destroy his life. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty, risen from the dead, never to be defeated again, ever, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I declare victory over him in Jesus' name, over Emmett. Hallelujah. Bring forth. Hallelujah. Let him be wrapped up, God, in your love, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, for Angela, God. Thank you. For Angela Joy, thank you, Jesus, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the peace that passes understanding, God, that, you know, when we get to pray for something, we can be grieved. Sometimes we can be grieved because God is grieved about a situation, a person, or a thing. We pick up his grief because he's grieved. It's not because we've done something wrong always. Many times it's because, you know, somebody else is in trouble. We thank you, Lord, for that ability to be able to discern and know when she's grieving over something or bothered by something, she will know what it is. Sometimes I know, sometimes I don't know. I've had times where God gave me the name of people and kind of find out it was really, you know, right. But other times I don't know, you know. So I thank you, Lord, for that increase of the knowledge of God. So she's praying over people. She can, you know at least maybe what to pray for specifically, how to release them from that burden, how to get them on the other side of their problem. That's what ministers are for. We're here to help people get on the other side of things. We can't make them, but we can help them. So I thank you, Lord, for the helper inside of her, God. I thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit to help people, to help herself, to help her, to help others. I just release the helper in her life, God, to help her. In Jesus' name, to help her, help others. To help her, to help her, help others. Woo, that's a good one. The H-E-L-P-E-R, to help H-E-R, her. They can help others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you for that cognitive revelation of Jesus that you give Angela Joy, Father, that she's cognitive. She knows it. She doesn't just say it, talk about it. She knows it. Peter all of a sudden knew that Jesus was a Christ. He didn't even tell him he was a Christ. But all of a sudden, God, the Father, showed him that Jesus was the Christ, and Jesus recognized it when he knew that. Whole different thing. Amen. Spirit of revelation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We don't have real victory until we get the revelation from heaven. That's when the real victory comes. That's why Jesus knew Peter was going to make it. That was the sign to Peter, the sign to Jesus that Peter was actually going to make it. Because he was going to deny him and all that. But, you know, when he heard from the Father and the way he said, you are the Christ, he knew that's it. You're hearing from the Father. But think it over that with the angel of God, that she'll be able to recognize that voice, hear it through other people, and know that, okay, that person's going to make it because I just heard something of the Holy Spirit coming through them. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 915-929. Anybody talk to Luke from, please?
Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. All right, Carmen, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Carmen tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our Texas people, all of our people all over the place. Thank you, Jesus, for her life. Thank you, God, for that increasing, God, of the glory of God in her life, increasing the glory. God, teaching her how to drink the glory. You know, we drink water. We drink the water of the Holy Spirit. We drink different things, you know, the wine of the Holy Spirit, but to drink the glory. Thank you, Lord, you're going to teach her how to drink the glory. That's what, you know, Moses did on the mountain. He said, God, show me your glory. He wanted to drink of it. In other words, partake of it. He wanted to partake of the glory. He wanted to see God's glory so he could drink it in. Because when we drink in the glory, Carmen, as you know, it causes us to bring glory to God. That's what it does. The reason Moses wanted to drink in the glory of God or see the glory of God to partake of it is because he wanted to bring glory to God. And so when you see his glory, when you drink it in, you bring glory to him. So I thank you, Lord, for all the ways that she brings glory to you, God, that she learned to drink that in, drink it in, to partake of it, to see it, to see the glory, to understand the glory, to know what God's saying when I'm going to bring glory to it. Like he told, the disciples asked him, you know, what made this man blind from birth? Was it the sin of his parents or him? He said, no, it's for the glory. It's for the glory. Thank you, Lord, that you tap her into the glory. No, it's for the glory. No. It doesn't matter. Sin, no sin. What the issue? It doesn't matter what the issue is. It's about the glory. The glory, the glory. We have to figure out how to pray. Jesus said it's for the glory of God. Well, thank you, Lord, that she begins to tap, that she drinks in the glory. And God, let her drink that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When she sees something, she goes, well, everybody goes, what's the problem with it? How come? What's the real deal? What do we need to pray? And it doesn't matter. It's for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus, for she's drinking in the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right. 214-434. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. If you could pray for Kimberly and Derek. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Kimberly. Thank you all for Kimberly and Derek tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching her how to spread the love, the love of God. When you give love, Jesus said, if you love your enemies, you know, like love takes care of everything. That's why love is the greatest thing, Kimberly, as you know, this, the love of God is the greatest. Because love covers, love, and love doesn't mean we just let people get by with things. It just means that we love them in spite of it. Because sometimes people are looking for love. When they find love, when they got somebody that loves them despite everything, it causes them to settle down and they quit, you know, letting all that bad energy take in the wrong direction. Because what they're looking for, what everybody's looking for, Kimberly, is love. Garrett's looking for it. You're looking for it. We're all looking for it. We're looking for the love. When you get that love, that's why Jesus said, you know, love your enemies. Because loving them is really what they're looking for. When they get love, they'll quit hating. when they get love, they'll quit acting up. When they get love, they'll quit doing all the things wrong all the time and being rebellious. Why? Because they're looking for love. When you find love, you stop doing stuff. You stop being a pain in the neck for the most part. Right? Yeah, we quit. Yeah, so that Kimberly will love Derek. Derek will love Kimberly, God. and realizing that we're not just kind of like letting people get by with what they said or didn't say to us, you know, because that's the thing that we deal with. But Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that if we love that love to relax and rest and quit because they're getting their needs met. When you get your needs met, a lot of people do things, Kimberly, because they're trying to get their needs met. A lot of people act crazy going on because they got a drive inside them. They got a drive. Well, you know what that drive is? They got a need that needs to be met. And they think it's one thing, but it's another. And so when we meet that need, it causes that person to settle down, relax, and rest. Because when you get, your need met, you don't do all those other things that you think you're, because you're satisfied. And I think of Lord, that love, satisfied that you pour your love through her and in her, God, in Jesus' name. She will learn how to let your love flow, her God, flow through her in Jesus' name. And Derek, do the same thing, God. Hallelujah for Derek. God, we thank you for giving Derek courage, God, to and strength to see beyond circumstances, be able to have faith and hope that things are going to get better and better and better in Jesus' name. And, thank you, Lord, for that, that Derek will, you know, when he does something that he messes up on, he just gets it right and moves on. You don't have to hang up and go, oh, God, I'm sorry. What's your sorry? What's your get it right? That's it, man. Done. Move on. We're going to waste way too much time under condemnation, way too much time, you know, trying to pay for our sins. You know, like how many days I didn't feel bad about this? It's a really bad thing for a week, for a month, for a year. No, 1 second, because Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. And then we get walk right out of it and move on, do the right thing, do the good thing, do the God thing. All right. Amen. All right. Okay, 702-350. Who am I talking to from, please?
Hey, Randy, Jeff, and Yuki.
Hey, y'all, you made it. Good to have you guys tonight. All right, for Jeff and Yuki tonight, God, thank you, Lord, for the power. Lord, show them what real power is. Real power is given so that we can change things for the good. God gives us power and authority. Because everybody thinks they know what's good, but when God gives us power and authority, when we have true power and authority, it's to set things in order and do things right, so that when they're done right, there's not a lot of waste. There's not a lot of, you know, people do all kinds of things. Like people merchandising, what they do is they create an environment where they get holes in their pockets, and when they get money in, the money just gets lost somehow. But when you set it in order, and get, you know, take authority and power to set it right, then those holes in the pocket go away. You know, people get, when they get, you know, $5 coming in, the $5 stays in there. It doesn't end up being a dollar a week later, and they don't know where it went. So I thank you, Jesus, for that place of obedience, of authority, of taking authority over things, you know, setting things in order, and, you know, to line things up with what God's saying. Things in order means that we line them up the way God tells us to do it in Jesus' name. And sometimes it takes time to learn that. But God is training us. He's teaching us, because we're getting really close to, I personally feel like, you know, I'm already there in the warfare. I'm in a war now. I'm in a war zone. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how to explain that. But being in the war zone is when power and authority works, because you're no longer in a training thing. You're in the real thing. And so everything you've been learning is activated into power and authority to actually confront the enemy, deal with the enemy, and debase him and bring him down and destroy the structure of things. Lord, I think for the power of God to destroy the structure of things, in Jesus' name, the structure of people's false belief system, in Jesus' name, start believing what is right. And get things in order in the name of Jesus. Things in order. God, you showed Jeff how to do that. You showed him how to, I mean, Yuki, God, how to set things in order and cause things to be put on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. And everything else is going to fall away. And we're fixing to see some major things pass away. But those who are on the solid rock of Christ Jesus are going to find themselves being really blessed. So thank you, Lord, for teaching Jeff how to walk on that solid rock, how to get that information from God, how to deal things according to the Word of God. We do things according to the Word, the revealed Word. Then it doesn't matter what, quote, falls apart. We don't fall apart. When the storm blows and the storms rage, we feel the wind, but we don't go anywhere. We're going to watch things be destroyed by the winds of turmoil and trouble. But God, we're going to be standing, when the wind clears, we're going to be standing there going, thank you, Jesus, that I stood upon your word. I stood upon the rock. I stood upon my relationship with Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Yuki, God. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that strength, that courage, a a new level of courage to handle things, you know, whether it's personal things or dealing with things outside of herself. The people, God, the courage to lovingly tell them the truth, the courage to, you know, confront them in a way that they can receive it. Sometimes some people don't receive anything, no matter what you do. But for the general overall part, people are hungry for the truth. They want the truth. They want to know what's right. They want to know what I need to change to fix my thing. And I think, Lord, you will give her the courage and strength to give people the truth, give her the courage to tell them what they need to do to get it right and do it in a gentle, kind, loving way, but very strong and very powerful and very compassionate so they can know, because they're looking for the truth. People look for the truth. Some people have a lot of religious bondage on their life. The good people, basically, but they have religious bondage. That religious bondage keeps them from coming to Christ and doing things God's way. And so we know, I think we're giving her eyes to see that those people are not on the rock, Christ. They're going to end up in eternal hell, no matter how nice they are, no matter how good they are, if they're not born again. And they've heard the gospel and they rejected it. God, give her that compassion in Jesus' name and the courage to tell them the truth in love in Jesus' name, where they can be set free and be blessed and come out of darkness into the light in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Pray for Shannon tonight. Shannon sent me a prayer request. Thank you for Shannon tonight. Really good last few nights. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Please pray for Yuki and the operation. Oh, she's in the operation room today? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You know, give her courage, God. Give her that strength, God, in Jesus' name. And be with her, Lord, and give her the courage to go into that operation and receive what she needs, Father, that you take those things that are trying to mess with her. and then give her the courage to turn it around and mess with it, authority over those things, and take authority, to take dominion in Jesus' name, and yield to God, and take dominion over the things that are causing her mind to be fearful or to have, you know, nothing wrong with having questions. I thank you, Lord, you're going to answer her questions in Jesus' name. And calls her to walk in that place of authority. That's where I keep meeting earlier. Something about power and authority. Giving Jeff that realm of power and authority, God, as he prays for you, God, we come in agreement in Jesus' name. That she be blessed. She be protected. She be comforted, God, in Jesus' name. That all will go well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know what it's like to have your wife going to be operated on this round. Like, wow. All right, we love you guys. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you. All right, for my brother Shannon tonight, thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Bless Shannon tonight. God calls him to, like we talk about Job tonight, that Job had a heart to, he was a wealthy man, a very wealthy man, but he was not he knew his authority, he knew his God, and he feared God, reverence God. But what a perfect example of what I believe God wants us to see is seeing Job. If you ever listen to the teachings tonight that we do, we talk about Job and how Job was wealthy and blessed highly above anybody in the East. And then God says in the first chapter, he said God says that Job was the greatest man in the earth. And there he was, filthy, stinking rich, man. And he did God. And then when everything fell apart, you know, he just fell on the ground and began to worship God. Yeah. Naked I came into this world, naked go out, God gives and God takes away. Man, what a man of God, oh my God. And he was, you know, you don't find too many filthy, stinking, rich people acting like that. I mean, that is amazing. I taught him that, and if you missed it tonight, go back and listen to that. I just just read the first, I read basically the first chapter of Job and just read it right out. And it's amazing, the revelation about Job and some of the fears that we deal with and that kind of thing. So, for my brother tonight, bless him, Jesus, cause him to know that, we can be really blessed and walk and be upright before God Almighty. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Fill him with your spirit, God. Fill him with your strength. Give him your glory, God. Show him your revelation. Show him the blessing of the Word of God, the living Word of God, in Jesus' name, to make him free, to be free indeed, in Jesus' name, and be blessed with that, with the fellowship of love and compassion in his life, in Jesus' name, that tenderness of Jesus, the tenderness of a woman, the tenderness of Jesus, the tenderness, male and female. God brought us, made women, he made women, he even built them tender. Even their skin and their, and everything about them is more tender for a reason, because, you know, that's what we need. And it's a beautiful thing. You missed a teaching tonight? Go back, talk about how great it is to be rich. How great it is to be rich and to be a man of God. And God call you the greatest man in the earth. In the earth, he says. Job was the richest man in the East. That says he was the, talking about all his blessings, so that the man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And then later, that's in verse 2-3, and then a little bit later, God says he's the greatest man of the earth. That's what God said about him. Let's see what he said about it. God says, for there is none like him in the earth. Verse 8. Job 1, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth or on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And yet the guy was filthy, stinking rich. He had like, he was, wow, amazing. This is the type and shadow, I believe, what God wants to do, literally, what God wants to do for us. Amen. All right. Y'all, it's been really good. Good tonight. Thank you for being with us. All right, pray for Yuki. She's being operated on in the operation room, so make sure pray for her and Jeff. All right, here we go. All right, 754-255. You may call Cruiser from, please.
Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right, good evening. All right, Donald Tony, thank you, Lord, for Donald Tony. Thank you, Jesus, for that. For Tanya, God, I thank you, Lord, for the midnight hour situation. That you know, that you, when it comes to the midnight hour, it's the beginning of a new day, it's the beginning of a new way, it's the beginning of a new thing, it's the beginning of a new being, whatever a being is, I don't know, a new thing. I'm trying to rhyme things and beans and whatever it is. And Jesus, thank you, Lord, for that midnight hour, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Before we move into, you know, a whole new day, a whole new season, a whole new time. God, I thank you, Jesus, for preparing her. I think you've been preparing her for that, God, and preparing her heart, preparing her faith, preparing her ability to believe you and to like Job, shun evil and be a blameless person, to be blameless before God like Job was. If y'all missed the teaching, I taught on Job tonight, how he's a filthy, stinking rich guy, but he was blameless and upright and feared God and shunned evil. Amen. And then God doubled that. That's amazing. Woo! I guess when rich people, Donald and Tanya, get ready to get doubled, it takes a major thing to double them, I guess, because that's what happened with him. And brother, did he ever get doubled? Well, I thank you for the double for Donald. I thank you for that double thing, that preparing them for double, God, that they live in the double realm. They double one thing, then you double another thing. Then you double, then you double that double. God, I thank you in Jesus' name for faith. In Jesus' name is in that place, God, and that you're showing them and opening them up to that place, not having any shame for being rich and blessed. Not for being, because Job was very, very rich, Donald, as you know, And yet he was a blameless man of God. So people that fear, oh, if I get a lot of money, I might fall away from God. No, Job didn't. Job had, you know what, some sons and daughters. And he had seven sons. Y'all got three. Y'all think y'all got big. He had seven of those boys and three daughters that were born to him. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And that you blessed him. He was famous. He was well-known. He was a man of God. And, Lord, I thank you that there was no shame in being rich. No shame. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing. You're going to teach us how to be rich in every way and be servants of God and be like God said about Job. He said he was the greatest of all the people in the East. He had a very large household, verse 3, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Right, and then God later says that Job was the greatest man, one of the greatest man. He said there's none like him in the earth, not in the East, in the earth. So Lord, I thank you for that mentality, that ability to believe that and open ourselves up so we can receive it, that we don't reject any of God's wealth, any of his ways of getting wealthy, any way of his doing things. Open them up to that God in Jesus' name. And that we can use everything we have to serve the living God because we have a covenant with God. Covenant people are different than people who just get blessed. He blessed Ishmael. God, Abraham prayed, God, what about Ishmael? I've heard your prayer. Abraham, I'm blessing him. You're going to make him a prince. He's going to be blessed. But my covenant is with you. That was the difference between Ishmael's blessings and my covenant is with you. Covenant people don't always win. We always win. And that's the thing. We're going to be on the winning team, the covenant team, the blessed team. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Awesome. 11:30. Am I done already? I don't know. Am I done? I'm having a lot of fun. Yeah. Blessing people, Jesus, on the run. Are we done? Are we done? Yeah. I would bless Yuki God or pray for you. She's in an operation room today. Make sure to pray for her. And bless her. Send your blessings. Send your prayers her way. Jeff, walk in that place of authority and in Jesus' name, power and authority. Amen. All right. I'm going to give you a minute, wait for another caller to call in. If nobody calls in, I'm going to take off tonight. It's 11:30. I'm getting up early. And I'm working less and getting more done. Well, it looks like. All right, I'll be right back. Hey, y'all, I guess you're going to call tonight. I think that's about it. Thanks for being with us tonight. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.